And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're doing this, a lot of this show, actually. We've got a series of callers, and very first out the gate, we're glad to have Congressman Gary Palmer, who represents Alabama's 6th Congressional District. He is up for re-election right now, as a matter of fact, and Congressman Palmer has a long history of working conservative issues in the state, even before in Congress, when he founded the Alabama Policy Institute. And so with that said, I am proud to have Congressman Gary Palmer on the line. Sir, how you doing today?
I'm good, Phil. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for making time for us. I'm hoping you're getting a couple of days off in between Christmas and New Year's.
Well, to be honest, I've got a little time in the woods with a couple of pastor friends of mine, deer hunting, and so it has been good to be away from everything.
Well, there's nothing like sitting in the woods to help you forget that D.C. exists, but... Well, let me ask you this, Congressman. We got a few minutes together here, and really what I wanted to do, I'm calling this whole section of the show Hindsight and Foresight. Looking back on 2023, what are your thoughts on what were the biggest stories, and then what are your biggest predictions for 2024? Start with the look back first, if you don't mind.
Well, I think the biggest story was the Hamas massacre of Israeli citizens. That's dominating world news. And it has put the U.S. in a position where we've got to show our cards. Are we going to support Israel or not? And the interesting thing is Biden keeps trying to play nice with Iran. And Iran is using this as a proxy war. So that'd be the biggest story. The next biggest story, actually, would be vacating the chair and, 10 weeks of turmoil trying to elect a new speaker. And we obviously elected Mike Johnson, who I think is the right man for the job. But those would be the two biggest stories. I think this might be a surprise to people. It might not. But I think the biggest story going into 2024 is going to be decisions from the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Not the least of which will affect President Trump, who might, I will go ahead and say now, I think he will be the Republican nominee. And contrary to what a lot of people think, I think he's going to win. But I think the court's going to make some decisions that will have an enormous impact on reining in the administrative state. And one of the things I try to get across to people is that when you have such thin majorities in Congress and when you have such a thin majority and only have one house, they basically do whatever they want to do through executive order or through rulemaking or regulations. I think the Supreme Court is going to step in, particularly with the Looper case that they'll be deciding in this term, will have a huge impact on that.
Well, I would hope so. You know, and if there's anything about Trump's legacy from his first four-year term there's several things we can look at: border control, energy policy, tax cuts. But I think the court system, to include the Supreme Court appointments, has to be one of the most lasting legacies of his time in office. And here it is. Now we're looking at that same court that we fought to get people put onto may actually be coming back and making one of the most monumental decisions. I agree with you. I think that's going to be one of the biggest things out of 2024 is not just the election itself, but what happens with whether or not Trump can even be on the ballot, which is amazing that we're having to say that.
Yeah. Well, and there's other cases that I think the court may weigh in on where it's clear that they're violating President Trump's due process rights, his right to speech. I mean, with all of these gag orders that they've put on him. And I spoke with President Trump a few weeks ago, and he told me, he said, one more indictment, he'll be at 70% approval, or be at 70% in the polls. But I think people understand that this is now not about Trump's personality. It's no longer about that. It's about the things he did when he was in office and the prospects for what he would do when he's reelected. And going back to the administrative state part, I think I've recommended this book to you. It was written by David Bernhardt, who was Secretary of Interior at the end of the Trump administration. But it's entitled, You Report to Me. And your listeners, if they've got pen and pencil or something to write with, ought to jot that down and get that book. It is the best insight into what's going on with the administrative state and how they tried to basically undermine everything that President Trump was doing.
Wow, that's all right. So I just wrote it down, and we do have a recommended reading list on our Right Side Radio website. So I'll check that out and probably get that one posted up there.
Well, maybe you can get David to come on the show with you one day and talk about it.
That would be
really good.
That would be absolutely worthwhile. And so maybe offline, you and I can get together on that and get his contact information. That'd be huge.
I'll be happy to help you.
Well, let me ask you too. Going back to the 2023 look back. I agree. I was going to say that Israel. In fact, you picked my top two: Israel and the vacating of the chair, which had never happened in the history of the United States, if I'm not mistaken. And then we came up with Speaker Johnson. But then the attack on Israel, but subsequently the fight in Gaza. I think that carries forward into 2023 as what may wind up being one of the most consequential foreign policy discussions that we're going to have overall in 2023. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that the Biden administration telling Netanyahu that the world is starting to look badly upon what Israel's doing in Gaza is ridiculous. Israel is in the fight of their life. They are literally surrounded by enemies, and if they don't take action, any tepid response would have only invited more violence. So I think they have to clear Hamas out. They have to find them wherever they are and eliminate them. It's just the bottom line. And at some point, Iran has to be held accountable for this, and we've got this insane administration that's sending Iran money. They sent the Palestine government money. Their money's fungible, as you know. They're using other funds to fund terrorist organizations.
Well, and I don't know if you saw it or not.
What's going on in Yemen with the Houthis?
Oh, it absolutely is. I mean, the Red Sea is on fire right now with over 100 drone strikes in the last week, I believe. But I don't know if you saw it or not, since you've been in a deer stand today, which I'm envious of. But there was actually a report earlier this morning that Israel attacked a Syrian airfield and killed up to 12 senior Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps leaders that were on site there. But clearly indicating that Israel is willing to go north, south, east, or west, depending on where the enemy sits, and that they believe that Iran is the reason why they're in the fight in Gaza. It's obvious.
Well, you know, the other thing is that Iran, these same people have been launching attacks against our folks, and you know, we haven't carried out any lethal strikes. And I think Israel sent a message that we ought to emulate. If you're going to continue to attack U.S. facilities, there are going to be severe consequences. And I think you don't have to do that many times for them to get the message.
No, absolutely. Hey, Congressman, listen, in the last few minutes we got here, looking forward at 2024, we got about 4 or 5 minutes. What are your thoughts on impeachment potential for the president himself, Secretary Mayorkas, some of the ones that draw the most ire? And where do you see all this going with the Hunter Biden fiasco? 2024, what's it look like for that?
Well, I think on Hunter Biden, within a few weeks after we get back in session, I think you're going to get a report from, on Mayorkas from Homeland Security, and that's when you'll see impeachment being filed against Mayorkas. In regard to Hunter Biden, I think the fact that they're charging him in California is a way to withhold evidence from the committee, because they can say this is an ongoing investigation and deny us access to key materials. I don't know where we'll be on impeachment of President Biden. I think we've got to do. This is one of those areas where you've got to do everything possible to not make a mistake, dot every I, cross every T. From my perspective and my what part I've had in this on the Oversight Committee, having looked at the suspicious activity reports, looked at the 1023 forms, seen some of the other documents, there's no question in my mind, Phil, that President Biden, as Vice President Biden, was benefiting financially from this.
Well, I would think that I think that most of the world thinks that, and I would just dare say that there's a huge swath of Republican voters out there that are itching to see somebody finally held to account for the things you're talking about. Our southern border this month hit 274,000 illegal crossings, and that's not sustainable. It's just not. And so Mayorkas himself just needs to go, but then the Hunter Biden and Joe Biden situation. It's absolutely unconscionable that they could try to deny it when we've got the bank records to prove it.
Yeah, and some of the transactions where they say it's loans within the family. Well, okay, what was the purpose of the loan? Was there any interest on it? Was it reported at any time? There's a limit on how much you can give a family member. $240,000?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good sized loan. That's
a wonderful family right there, isn't it? That's just Merry Christmas.
Well, I don't have anybody in my family I can go borrow $240,000 from.
No, not at all. Well, listen, Congressman, I know you've got opportunities to get back into the woods for a bit, and we appreciate you making the time for us today. You got any final words you want to send out to the constituents?
Well, just keep praying for Mike. It's been a mad scramble trying to put together staff, but I want people to understand he's the right guy. I believe he has communication skills that we need, and he and I have known each other. We knew each other before we got elected to Congress. We worked very well together, and just hang in there with us give us a chance. I think we need to reelect President Trump. We need to increase our majority in the House and get the majority in the Senate, and then hold on to your seats for the 2 years after that, because I think we'll be in a mad dash to get our country back on the right track.
No, I agree with that. Well, Congressman, listen, thanks for your time. Glad you're able to make some time for us on a day like this, but Happy New Year to you, and we'll have you on again sometime soon.
Happy New Year to you, Phil.
All right, take care. All right, Congressman Gary Palmer calling from a deer stand somewhere, I believe, in Elmore County. but nonetheless, we really appreciate his time. And listen, so yeah, if you're not familiar, Congressman Gary Palmer was the founder of the Alabama Policy Institute, where I spent several years on staff. You hear Stephanie Smith all the time come on. She's the president now of API. His look back, 2023, vacating the chair of speaker of Kevin McCarthy's position, and the attack on Israel, two biggest stories he believes of 2023. Looking forward, he thinks the two biggest stories for 2024 are going to be Supreme Court having several things to do, not the least of which is keeping Trump's ability to run on the ballot. And then, of course, he also says that he believes firmly that Trump's actually going to not only be the nominee, but that he's going to win the election. There's your first hindsight foresight discussion. We're going to come up here at the top of the hour, and we're picking up Todd Stacey from Alabama Daily News. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back with more. And I'm telling you, these are the kind of conversations you need to have, because some of these stories, you look at it and go, well, from my perspective, I thought this was a story. But then I hear a congressman or a news guy or another pundit come in with their own story, and it winds up taking on a flavor. I got this Wall Street Journal article, and I'm telling you, like 90% of what's in here, I'd almost forgotten was there, and I do this every day for a living. But nonetheless, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Hindsight Foresight. We'll be right back.